It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our present study of the book of Revelation, we're in chapter 13, and we've studied about the Antichrist, the beast, and right now we're studying about the false prophet, the second beast. And we left off with verse 13, where it says in Revelation 13, "And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men." Now, I made comment before that this fire did not come down from God's heaven. This fire, according to what we compare Scripture with, and we keep looking, and we find out that this word heaven here means the sky above. In other words, remember that the devil is the prince and the power of the air. So he is the one that causes this fire, and it deceives people. And people, the Jewish people, back in Luke 11, 29 through 31, we read that, how that the people look for a sign. Jesus said there's not going to be a sign given to that generation or anyone else, except the Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites. He said that is a sign, and this was a sign that the Son of Man would be in the earth. He would be crucified, buried, and resurrected. In other words, that's the sign. That's the only thing they're going to receive. And that's the only way a person is saved, is by receiving what God says about his Son. His Son came to save sinners. And this is what the Jewish people failed to see at that time. And one day they will understand. And during the tribulation period, there will be Jews saved. By the way, that is the reason for the tribulation period, so that the Jews would come to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that they would come back to God and understand who Jesus is and really understand who God is. But we read in Revelation 13, 13 about this false prophet. Now, notice deceiving the world by signs. It points to another fact that we save people of this dispensation of the church. It's another sign that we will not go through the tribulation. We will not be here in the first 3.5 years, or the second 3.5 years, known as Jacob's trouble, because saved people are looking for more than signs and wonders. The false prophet will perform great wonders and signs that the Jews will look for then, as they did also in the days when Jesus walked among them. We are not to look for signs and wonders as the unsaved Jews did, as they do, and as they will do. We who are saved right now are to look for our coming bridegroom in the clouds, not signs and wonders, but the bridegroom. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18 says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." We are to look for the Lord's coming in the clouds. Now, you and I do not look for the second coming. The reason we do not look for the second coming is because we're looking for the coming of our Lord in the clouds. In fact, when he comes back the second time to this earth, we're going to be with him according to the Scriptures. So therefore, we don't look for the second coming. We look for the rapture of the church. And that means the catching away of God's people, of Christ's people, of the bride of Christ going up to be with the Lord. And it says there that we're to do this because we're to comfort one another, not with signs and wonders, but with the words found in God's word. Comfort one another, not with signs and wonders, but with the knowledge of the soon approaching of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't need a sign. I just need to see my Lord coming back in the clouds. I just need to go up to be with him and rejoice that there was a time when I received him as my Lord and my Savior, and there will be a time when I go to be with him forever. Revelation chapter 13, verse 14. Remember now, we're studying about the false prophet. And that false prophet has come to call attention to the beast, the Antichrist, to cause people to worship the Antichrist. Well, now, Revelation 13, 14 says, "And he," that's the false prophet, "and he deceiveth them that dwell in the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell in the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did heal," or did live. Now, of course, we read earlier where he was healed. But notice this. The false prophet tells the people of the world to make an image to the first beast. Let me remind you that the Bible says that this person, the Antichrist, is going to be wounded, which had the wound by the sword and did live, according to Revelation 13, 14. That means that he received a wound by a sword. He was wounded, but he lived. He came through it. But the Antichrist will be viewed as one who has risen from the dead. And the false prophet is going to tell the people, because of this great wonder that has taken place, and I believe that it's going to be presented as a resurrection like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In other words, it's going to be a fake. But the false prophet, because of all these things that he's doing, and because he calls attention to this wound, to this man who's wounded, he causes the people of the world to make an image to the first beast. Now, casual reading. And once again, let me remind you, casual reading of Revelation chapter 13 and verse 14 has led many people to read into that verse that the false prophet made the image of the beast. I thought that for years until I really got down to it and I read the scripture. I thought that the false prophet made the image, but actually it was the people of the world. And this would exclude those who are saved, of course, during that time. And the people are mesmerized by the Antichrist and false prophet. They're so mesmerized that they are willing to believe and do anything either of these ungodly, blasphemous, bound for the lake of fire human demons say. The unsaved, we read of in verse 14, make the image of the beast, the Antichrist. The people made the image. Something else about this image. The image referred to four times in chapter 13 is mentioned six more times in the book of Revelation. Now, let me give you those verses. If you've got a pen and paper, you can write it down. If not, go to one of our websites and you'll be able to look at and see and hear this once again, lrwm.org. And you'll hear this at the end of the program, the website you can go to. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 9 and verse 11. Revelation 15, verse 2, Revelation 16, verse 2, Revelation 19, 20, Revelation 20, and verse 4. Now notice also, verse 14 also says this. It says, "To the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live." Again, we are told the beast was only wounded by a sword. The Antichrist receives the world's wonder after some say he was killed, came back from the dead. I can't emphasize this enough, that he did not rise from the grave. He did not rise from the dead. Revelation 13:3 again says, "And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast." Now, verse 3 says, "as it were wounded to death." And I believe verse 3 is taken, when taken in context, is saying, as if it were wounded to death. I believe it did not kill him. He was healed, not raised from the dead. One commentator has written this. He says, "This beast, who is actually a Satan-possessed man, is said to have ascended out of the bottomless pit," Revelation 11, 7. Satan had enabled him to counterfeit a resurrection from death, creating such great admiration in the world as to elicit global submission and worship. Both the beast and the head of the beast, the man and the ancient kingdom, will appear to have been mortally wounded, but both will seemingly be miraculously restored. This comes from the King James Defender's Study Bible by Dr. Henry Morris, Ph.D. Another commentator has written this, "And I saw one of the heads, as it were, wounded to death." The phrase "wounded to death" means properly that it received a mortal wound, that is, that the wound would have been mortal if it had not been healed. Albert Barnes, many years ago, made that notation in his works. Well, 2 Timothy chapter 2, or 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders." The Antichrist and the false prophet are nothing but liars, because they are empowered by the biggest liar of all, and that is the devil himself. Don't believe the tricks of the devil. Don't give in to the wiles of the devil, the Bible says. Don't be fooled. Don't be tricked into believing the things of the devil. We need to believe the Lord when he says, "I came to seek and to save those who were lost." That's why he came. Now, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he didn't come to condemn you. He came to save you. The Bible says that if you've not trusted him as Lord and Savior, you're condemned already because you have not trusted him as your Lord and Savior. He didn't have to come to condemn you because the condemnation is already there. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death." Thank God that verse doesn't stop there. It goes on to say, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." If you've never trusted him, you need to do that right now. Ask him to come into your heart. Trust him as your Lord and Savior. Mean it in your heart when you say, "Lord, forgive me of my sin. Lord, I can't save myself. I believe that you came, you were crucified, buried, and resurrected. You're alive today. I believe that, Lord, as much as within me is, I believe your Bible. I believe your word. And Lord, I'm trusting you right now to save me so that I can go to heaven." Now, if you'll pray something like that, my prayer won't save you. And frankly, your prayer won't save you. It's what you believe in your heart. "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness," the Bible says. So it's when you ask Jesus to come in and live with you in your heart, live with the innermost being, change you. Now, the old body's not going to be changed until we go to be with the Lord. But the innards, if I could use that term, the inside is going to be changed. The real you will be changed. And just as the Bible says that our old vile bodies are going to be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, the moment you ask Jesus to save you, come into your heart, and you trust him as your Lord and Savior, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, it's so quick you wouldn't even be able to see it. And you get saved by trusting the Lord. And no one can take that away from you because you've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that he came to give life. He didn't come to kill. He didn't come to condemn. He came to save. He wants to save everyone in this world. And if you are saved, you need to be telling other individuals that Jesus saves. You need to go forth and tell them that Jesus Christ wants them to know him as their Lord and Savior. Just as I went through the scripture just now and said, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You can share that with individuals. Now, I can't force you to do that, and God won't even force you to do that. But won't you do it out of the love that you have for your Lord and Savior? Won't you tell someone about Jesus? You can use a tract. You can hand out a tract. You can go and just say to someone, "Wouldn't you want to be saved?" And tell them how to be saved. Read a tract to them with a plan of salvation in it. Help them to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.